Good morning. Today is Monday, October the 5th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Public Works Director Tom Madsen.
Good morning.
Parks.
Levies.
We'll talk about levies. I don't think I'm a little bit more sensitive to levies these days.
We all are after the last few years.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that also once we find out what it is we say and why we say it.
I don't think I've got one of these right yet.
Somebody got close a little while ago, like 95% close. It was frightening. I didn't think I hanged around with people that were that smart.
We quit.
And you obviously aren't here.
We quit at 80%. Yeah. The other 20% costs too much.
Okay, Winston, what do you got?
Tickled to death. What is the origin of that expression?
I know it used to be a torture.
Somebody was tickling somebody else and they died.
I would, there's some kind of like, if you get too far, something, a body system shuts down.
Exactly.
But I don't know which one it is. Okay.
Audience gives it to you this time.
Well, let you be that 80% thing. We just hit a home run,
exactly,
bud.
Exactly, grand slam. I'm out of here, retired.
Yeah.
Legend has it that there was an old form of Chinese punishment and torture in which the victim was literally just tickled to death. If this was true, then it is presumably possible to so tickle the fancy of a person that they, too, would die.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that kind of stuff where I think people are starting to rediscover.
Yep.
Levies.
What about levies?
You know, I think one of my enduring images of Jimmy Smith is how he would talk about going to a place in the first district, you know, they varied, and literally putting his arm into one of the tide gates and unjamming something because nobody else either had the time or had the desire, and he would just go out there, get his mutters on, throw his arm down, pull out the stick or the rock or whatever it was that had jammed it closed most times, or open, and take care of business. Levees, there are so many of them, and I don't think most of us even recognize their existence, let alone the what they perform for our area. What are some of those things? What do levees do? How? Where are they? And you know, what responsibility do you guys have on that?
So in King Salmon, we have flood some tide gates, but we don't really maintain the levees. Those are private property. We have the Sandy Prairie Levee south of Fortuna, which protects the city of Fortuna, presuming that the Van Dusen River doesn't flood behind the levee and come over like it did in 1964. We have the Redwood Creek levees in Oreck that provide some protection for the community of Oreck.
And those are probably the most visible of
those
the
are
bunch.
The most visible. Yeah. And we also have the Blue Lake levee, which protects the city of Blue Lake from the Mad River. And so those are our three primary levees that we maintain. And maintenance is really, you know, trying to go out annually and cut all the brush out, making sure that gophers aren't digging holes through them. Other areas are having problems with homeless encampments digging into the levees. We haven't seen that yet, thank God.
Digging into the riverside?
Yes.
Hidden from view,
hidden
and then
from,
it's...
Yep.
Most of us, I would suspect, think of a levee as a pile of dirt.
Pile of dirt, lots of rock. Rock core primarily, rock facing. If it's just dirt when the river comes up, it'll just wash it out. So it's lined with big rock.
Now there's a levee. It's on the Coquille at Bandon. And there was a ship in the late 1800s that got stuck. So they just built around it. And as it kind of decomposed, they kept piling rocks on it. So there's a... Literally, there's a ship inside of the levee. It was super low tide. You can still see parts of it. Using railroad cars, using old vehicles, things of that nature, is that something that is done today, or is that
no.
old days?
That's long, long gone. The closest we have to it nowadays are our road system, where there's tons of redwood trees buried in the gulches that they were filled in, and sooner or later, all of a sudden, big sinkhole will appear when it finally rots. But no, using cars, anything with any fluids, no.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that element. I just was thinking stuff that would decompose and things would kind of shift or lock differently and along those lines. Now, the dolos that are used out on the spit, are those, could those be used at the mouth of some of the levees to keep the either the wave crashing or that the high energy part of the levee intact a little bit more?
Could possibly. Those are very, very specifically designed for our bay entrance by the Army Corps of Engineers based on very specific wave actions and analysis. So
somebody else's dolo might be slightly different?
It might do something different than what you plan on it doing, where it directs the water to go to. And so, yeah, those actually just look like big, you know, chunks of concrete crosses, and they're not. They're actually specially designed just for our bay.
Was it the little kids game, the pickup sticks?
That's what I thought. Sticks.
Yeah, the
jacks.
Yes. It's weird. Obviously, those and the one in Crescent City are the only ones I've ever seen, and they just kind of look like they lock in, and then once they're in place, they're not going anywhere.
Nope. They can get washed behind, though, so.
Oh, okay, an undercut, and then move that way. Are they? They must be put in by some kind of somebody who knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
For that purpose.
Yes,
it's not just a pile of these.
They're
things.
Not just dropped. They're set purposefully, intertwined purposefully.
Huh. Now, do you have the responsibility to inspect those, or is that another agency?
No, that's Army Corps of Engineers.
So they design it, they put it in, they take care of the whole thing.
Yeah, most of our levees were built by the Corps of Engineers, but then turned over to the county.
Oh, kind of like some of the roads.
Exactly.
Oh.
And so that's really...
You really are a lucky kind of guy.
Yeah.
You're the recipient of all of that investment.
I miss out on the fun of building it, and I get stuck with maintaining it.
Oh, no kidding. So you don't have... Is there a smaller version of that to be able to use, like on Redwood Creek or some of these that are the county's responsibility?
No, we generally use Big Rock because it's a lot more cost effective for us. We don't have that.
The ones on those big long trailers?
We don't have the big budget to specially build concrete blocks for this. We've used concrete in the past, but now we can't even use that anymore. For environmental issues.
In forms, or they were just kind of free-formed on
the
levee?
Well, you know, for a while we were taking people's used concrete for like when they broke up their sidewalks and redid their sidewalks. Or, you know, when I used to run the landfill, I built a whole haul road out of the concrete that came off of the Samoa Bridge when they redid the Samoa bridges.
But you can't use that, huh?
For the road, yes, but for water, no.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson from the County of Humboldt. Tom, the levees sound like there's science and physics, and almost a specialty unto themselves. Is that an oversimplification?
No. You have to look at the floodplains, how high the water's going to be, historic floods, what the velocity, the scour of the water is going to be on the side. That will tell you what kind of rock you have to put to protect the levee. You know, most of our levees were theoretically 100-year levees, but with all the new FEMA floodplain mapping, they no longer provide 100-year protection, more like 50 to 75. And so that's become an issue.
So that's pushed ahead your maintenance?
It's pushed to... our request to the Corps to reconsider some of the work they've done on the levees when they built them. Doesn't relieve us of maintenance. There's really not a lot we can do with the existing levee. You can only go up so high where you're you're in a triangle instead of a top of a levee that you can maintain. And so realistically, to get better protection, the levees need to be pulled back a bit and raised. And that's just very...
So you just kind of step back 10 feet, so to speak, build a new pile, and then tear the other out?
Theoretically, but in this day and age, although it's mainly private property and lots of housing behind levees, and so that's pretty difficult to do.
So then I guess it'd be more like a bridge, where you have to carve out an area, let it dry out, and fill it in?
There are areas like that, the Yellow Bypass in the Central Valley, where when the floodwaters in the Sacramento River get so high, they send it through the bypass. And that bypasses, gets it out of the main channel, bypasses all the big communities like Sacramento. So there are different ways the levees not just protect the community behind it, but you can use them to divert the water around communities. There's a huge project going on up in North Dakota right now, billions of dollars a project to solve some flooding problems there. And it's by the same thing. They're going to build a new channel around the communities and direct the floodwaters into that new channel so the community doesn't flood anymore.
So it's kind of like an overflow.
Yep, exactly.
Like the Smith has that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hopefully not like the Orville Dam overflow.
No, not through the middle. Around the side. Is there more and more attention to that, like with rivers? And I can't imagine how you wouldn't be managing it, work with the Mississippi. Really flat gradient. And there's so much water coming through that if you miss by a half of a percent, that's big time issues. The pace of the water, if you will, or how quick the current, does that add things for our area, or does that make it easier because it drains so quickly?
Ours come up and down a lot quicker. In the Midwest with the Mississippi, it's slow and long.
It's a summer.
Floods can last yeah. forever. And yes, they have levees around some of the communities, but it's basically making an island out of the community because the floodplain is so wide. And there's just really, there's no way around it. You're either going to build the levee up around the entire community to protect it, or you're going to build it to a certain level, and after that, you're going to expect floods.
And that's almost part of the culture.
Yep.
I remember my first Idea Bank convention was in Hannibal, Missouri. Okay. And there was the house and there was the white picket fence.
Yep.
And it's kind of on a little hill. And then there's the old town or main part, and then drops down into the Mississippi. And we're talking, and a lot of the restaurants and stuff were second floor.
Yep.
And you know where I'm going with it being out of that area, but I just totally stunned and amazed. Oh, well, that's because da da da. And oh, the living space was downstairs, so you could get out and go upstairs rather than having the commercial concerns being downstairs, those would go upstairs.
Yep.
And that's just part of you build around river
it.
Life.
Yep, you build around it. You adapt to it.
Yeah. So it's now, do we do a good job of adapting to the floods and stuff around here? I mean, you were talking about protecting Oric, protecting Fortuna. Okay, that all makes sense, but do we really do a good job? I mean, it's so rare that it gets to that level anymore.
Well, the good job was done when they built the levees initially. The cost of maintaining them comes out of the county general fund, and so it's always tight on what we can do. If we do have a levee blowout, then the Army Corps can come in and help fix it.
So it's like FEMA coming to the rescue on that.
Exactly. But even that is becoming hit and miss because as they start changing the floodplain and changing the flood levels and decertifying levees from the Army Corps program, there's a lot of concern with that. And like I say, they're built for a certain level. If the water's over that level, it is going to flood. On the Sandy Prairie levee, there's actually a private levee on the other side of the river called the Leonardo levee. But it's lower than the Sandy Prairie levee, so it protects Ferndale to a certain extent.
It's where the cows get to go if it gets a little
damp. But then the water
goes
over.
Yeah.
And it's,
cow floats.
You adapt yeah. the best you can, and you evacuate when you know you need to evacuate. But
that's what I was going to ask. You know, everything is a risk-reward in an ROI economic equation. with the levees, certainly if Oryk was a, let's say, a community that had a lot of high tech, throw in a genetics lab in there just for giggles. Okay, that's going to be treated a whole lot different than if it's what we have today.
Right, and if they come in today for a building permit, it's not going to be like the building permit you could pull 20 years ago. We're going to know about the water level. We're going to make you build so that you're resilient to that water.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, and we don't have to worry about snakes and critters and things like that that come along with some of it.
You know, just alligators.
I was thinking more of a salmon. Just a lost salmon, that's all.
Well, if you go up on the Rogue River in Oregon.
Oh, now we're
they
talking.
They have big houses, fancy houses in the floodplain.
Yeah.
But their whole bottom story is a garage with doors on both sides. And that's how they're permitted, because in the flood, they open both sides and let the water flow through.
Go through. And if you get a lane cod, so much the better. KI, hopefully it has a parking permit. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson from the County of Humboldt. He's in charge of levees. He's in charge of roads and bridges. And there's something else, and I totally forgot. Help me. Oh, man, the most obvious one. Okay. Even this program is presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Levees can't be very sexy.
Yeah.
We don't have that many of them. They don't grow pretty flowers on them and that kind of stuff. When it comes to the point of needing funding for the maintenance of levees, okay, the 2nd District Supervisor doesn't live in Fortuna. The 1st District Supervisor doesn't live in the Eel River Valley. The 5th doesn't live in Oryk.
No, but there's nobody whose constituents do.
Right, right. It's in somebody's backyard, but it's not in their backyard. Is it tough to get the funding for the just the regular maintenance that you would like to have to keep these things as viable for as long as you can?
Well, it's always a prioritization on the Board of Supervisors with the general fund. And so, yes, we do have to compete with funding all the time. Generally, the board's pretty supportive if we come in with a real problem that needs to be fixed. But as for long-term maintenance of infrastructure, it's difficult on whatever you have, whatever the source of money is. It's just we build infrastructure without putting aside enough money to maintain it as a national issue, not just a county issue. It's not just the levees, it's the roads, it's the bridges. It costs a lot of money to maintain the infrastructure. And so it's a regular fight. I think we keep them up in pretty good shape. The remapping caught us by shock with the FEMA remapping, because that changed all of our flood elevations. And so that's really the biggest issue, because that reflects right back to people's flood insurance rates.
Now, does that, not the insurance rates, but the reset, if you will, of the water, is that based off of the hurricanes we've been seeing and experiencing? They've been seeing and experiencing in the Florida and the Gulf? The Katrinas and some of the large hurricanes in the Midwest that are blowing through in the Atlantic seaboard?
Or is it
tied into other stuff?
It's based on our location, our topography, and our water flow systems. So they just refine them every now and then, and they take another look. And, you know, science seems to always get more technical and better and better and better. And, you know, who knew we would have Google Maps, you know, 30 years ago? Now you can look down on your own house and, you know, see yourself out in the backyard mowing the lawn. So technology gets better. We learn more things. And, you know, it's better to be straight up and honest about it and not put your head in the sand and then have a disaster and not be ready for it. We know that there'll be problems, so now we know we have to get notifications out earlier than we would have in the past.
Now, if we were in a laboratory setting or in a classroom in high school, somebody would raise their hand and say, well, why don't you just dig out all the mud that's been accumulating in there so that you've got more capacity and your levees are going to be functional, and when you get that flood, it's just going to blow through, and don't worry about it.
Because then you've dug out all the habitat and destroyed all the fish runs.
Even in the lower
regions, the lower estuaries are very important for habitat. Not during a flood, but year-round for the fish, the lower estuaries are extremely important. So if you go through and start dredging them out, you're sacrificing the Andromeda's fishery.
We've got these things called dams.
Yep.
They tend to interfere with the natural cycles of floods that blow out the channels.
Yep.
Okay, so if that would happen by nature, nobody would complain. Happens by Madsen Pabstein Incorporated, we got protests all over the place.
Yep.
End result, same thing. Is there a recognition that some of the activities, whether it's diversions or safety measures, have been put in place, there needs to be a corresponding action so that some of those elements, you mentioned fish, I think salmon, I think shallow pools instead of deep pools. What used to be ain't.
Exactly.
Okay, so if we dug it out and now it's deep and we lose some of the muck and the stuff that's down there that might be beneficial for some species, would still allow others to occur. Does that matter?
It's all a balance. When people's lives are at matter, that always comes first. But it's always a balance. You notice that there haven't been a lot of dams built in the recent past, and the last one that's
proposed, right up there with prisons and power plants. thing almost relegated to the past, except we're using
exactly. Yeah. And some of the dams when they were put in, they did put fish hatcheries in with the dams as a mitigation. Other dams, have had retrofits of fish ladders, which have been effective in certain locations. But yes, you have changed the entire watershed once you put the dam in. But without water, what are people going to do? We have to have water. So there's a balancing act that has to go there of protecting the environment, but allowing people enough water to have a good life.
Along those same lines, we have access into certain areas, and we'll talk about some of those seasonal things, like a seasonal bridge, when we come back. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Madsen. Tom, seasonal dams.
Yep.
Freshwater Park had one.
Yep.
I guess it's all gone. Totally.
No,
gone
no,
now?
It's still there.
It could be there.
It didn't go in this year because of COVID, and we do need to rebuild the fish ladder. But we put that in, and there is a fish ladder that goes with it.
Benbow.
Benbow's
gone. So you look at some of these seasonal dams and seasonal accesses also. These bridges that get put in during the summertime, and I guess they're late spring through first rain, I guess, or first anticipated
generally
rain.
June 15th to October 15th.
Okay, so we're right there. When those go in, they obviously are temporary. You just kind of find a solid enough landing and put it down, or are there footings that you have to play with or some kind of prep?
Mainly, we use rail cars, which you just grade up to with gravel and grade out of. We don't have a lot of abutments or anything on those temporary bridges. We have low water bridges, which we're in the process of going through the 10-year federal process to replace with high-level bridges. But we have low-level bridges at McCann and at Holmes Larrabee that when the water comes up, it just goes out. They're concrete structures built by the Corps of Engineers, and the water comes up and they go under, and then the road's out. At McCann, we run a ferry across in the winter.
Like the old days?
It's actually a 14-foot power boat, but we call it it's technically a public terms of ferry.
You don't have to pull it. There's no ox at the other end pulling the string.
No, we've got a little boatyard down there, and we pull it out of the water every night. In the summer, we bring it back into the shop and go through and make sure it's all fit to shape for the next winter.
Somehow that's cool. It's historical, so it's neat. It's super small town, which is neat. Hopefully those things don't all go away. I understand the reason of having a higher bridge so you don't have to deal with it, but it's still kind of cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of historic things that are really, really cool, especially in Humboldt County.
So as you look at trying to harden the target, whether it's with bridges or with levees, nobody really screams until it's an issue, a major issue. You know, it's not like the small pothole becoming a big pothole. It's like the bridge works and then it's gone.
Yep.
Yeah, much, much more passionate and a much tighter compressed timeline. Can you anticipate any of that stuff, or you just try to put a couple of ducats away in the corner somewhere and when it happens, at least you can get that rolling?
Well, we try to push a reserve each year, assuming the winter is going to come hit us and we're going to need to do certain things. We've had to, because of the storm damage in 2017 and 2019, our budget's in the hole because we're waiting for reimbursements. So I'm actually, I think, $4.5 million in the hole right now because the money comes after you spend it and after you do all the paperwork.
So promised it's coming, it just hasn't shown up yet.
There's always the qualifier that they may not actually fund it. And so we've been lucky. They've been funding almost everything we do under the storm damage program. We do have a cost share that we have to pay for. But again, it can be a long delay. When the reimbursements come, say the president comes out and says, I'm giving $800 million for this disaster. Well, about 10% of that money goes to that disaster. 90% of that money goes to outstanding claims by jurisdictions around the county, around the nation, that are waiting for reimbursements for prior work. It was like a year ago, I think, we finally got our last payout from the 2006 storm damage. So it took 14 years, basically, to get the money back.
So what do you guys just have to suck it up for that period of time?
That's all you can do, because if you don't do the project, then the damage is still there.
Then you're in trouble, yeah.
and if you don't do the project in a timely manner, they won't give you funding either.
So do you get some kind of a bond or a note or something for that?
Generally, it's just floated through the county treasury, and we pay negative interest to the county, which helps the county general fund. And then sooner or later, we'll get back in the black and start building our reserve again.
So what do the small little guys do that don't have that reserve?
There's different ways they can go borrow money. There's a Yuba County went and borrowed, I think, $60 million from their water district
for
storm damage stuff that they had.
Okay, so there are things
there's,
that are available.
There's a program through the state for very, very small jurisdictions where they will fund the money up front and then wait for the reimbursement from FEMA. So there's, you know, we're in the level where we have to front it and wait till we get it back.
Different life. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.